I'd like to ask you today to take your Bible and turn with me to 1 Kings chapter 19. We have been involved in some studies from the life and the ministry of the prophet Elijah. And I want to look at two more of those today, one this morning and then again another this evening. But some things that we read and we sometimes just sort of pass over. But I want to ask you to think with me of some things that are tremendously important to us in our walk of faith and in our service to the Lord. We look at men like Elijah and then others like Noah, like Moses, like Isaiah, Jeremiah, and even in the New Testament, Peter and John. And those men are men that are presented to us in such a way that we very often picture them as being these great, giant, faithful men. And yet the Bible tells us that Elijah, and it's true also of others, were men of like passions as we are. They were men that had the same feelings, they had the same experiences, they had the same thought patterns that we have. And that means that sometimes our faith is strong and sometimes it's not so strong. I want you to look with me today. It's something that happened in the life of Elijah that ought to be a great encouragement to us. Won't you, if you would, to turn with me to 1 Kings chapter 19. And I would ask you to begin reading with me at verse 7. 1 Kings chapter 19. And we'll begin reading at verse 7. And I'll read then down through verse 18. 1 Kings chapter 7, reading down through verse 18. And I'll tell you that this will be our same text scripture for tonight. There's two different things in here that I want us to see. We'll focus on one this morning. 1 Kings chapter 9, beginning at verse 7. And the angel of the Lord came again the second time and touched him and said, "Arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee." And he arose and did eat and drink, and went in the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights unto Horeb, the mount of God. And he came thither unto a cave and lodged there. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him. And he said unto him, that is, God said unto Elijah, "What doest thou here, Elijah?" And he said, "I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, slain thy prophets with the sword, and I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away." And he said, that is, God said, "Go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord. Behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind rent the mountains and brake in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. The Lord God was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice." And it was so when Elijah heard it that he wrapped his face in his mantle or in his cloak. went out and stood in the entering of the cave, and behold, there came a voice unto him and said, What doest thou here, Elijah? And he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, because the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword, and I only am left, and they seek my life to take it away. You ever heard the old saying, that's my story and I'm sticking to it? And the Lord said unto him, Go. What are you doing here, Elijah? Go. Return on thy way to the wilderness of Damascus, and when thou comest, anoint Hazael to be king over Syria, and Jehu the son of Nimshi shall thou anoint to be king over Israel, and Elisha the son of Shaphat of Abel-Meholah shall thou anoint to be prophet in thy room. And it shall come to pass that him that escapeth the sword of Hazael shall Jehu slay, and him that escapeth from the sword of Jehu shall Elisha slay. Yet I have left me 7,000 in Israel, all the knees of which have not bowed unto Baal, and every mouth which hath not kissed him. Now let me summarize that by asking you to understand what had happened. Elisha had heard Jezebel's threat. Jezebel said, I'm going to kill you by this time tomorrow. And Elijah takes his servant and flees from the area of Jezreel, a city that also was, the area was known as Samaria later on, but from that area, and went south down to Beersheba, which was the very southernmost part of the kingdom of Judah. He left where Ahab and Jezebel was in the northern kingdom, and he went all the way to the very southern edge, and then he left his servant there, and he went another day out into the wilderness. When he got out there, he sat down under a tree and he said, Lord, I can't take this anymore. It's enough. Just go ahead and take my life. I've done what you asked me to do, and this is the result I get. Just go ahead. Take my life. And he sat down and went to sleep. A little while later on, an angel woke him up, and there next to him was food and water. He ate the Lord's provision, and he went back to sleep. Slept another day. The angel woke him up again. Except this time the angel gave him a little more instruction. He said, you need to eat this, because you got a journey to make, and that journey is it's a long journey, it's a difficult journey, and you can't go in your own strength. And he ate what was provided for him and began the journey, and that journey was a 40-day trek across the wilderness. And he went all 40 days in the strength of that one meal. Now, how many of you eat dinner on the first day of the month and don't eat another meal till the middle of the next month? I have a hard time going from one day to the next, let alone going 40 days in one meal. And yet that's the power of what God provided for him. It wasn't magic. It was God's strength that was in that meal. It was God that blessed him in that meal. And he goes all the way across to the Mount of God. You know what that mount was? Better known to us most of the time as Sinai. It's also called Mount Horeb. It was the mountain where Moses saw the burning bush, and God said to him, you're going to go to Egypt, and you're going to go to Pharaoh, and you're going to tell Pharaoh to let my people go, and when you bring them back, you'll bring them to worship me on this mountain. He left Mount Carmel and he went to the Mount of God. Don't lose that. Got there and he found him a cave. Went camping in this cave. Yet while he was there, the voice of God came to him and asked him a question. Elijah, what are you doing here? And Elijah unloads his story on God. You ever told God any stories like this? Look, God, I have been zealous and faithful. I've been true to you, but your people have broken your covenant. They've tore down your altars. They've killed your prophets. And now they're trying to kill me. I'm the only one left, and now they're trying to kill me. Isn't it interesting that God didn't debate with him? Rather, God said, go stand out. Go out the front door. Go stand out in front of the cave. And when he went to the front of the cave, three marvelous things occurred. A wind strong enough to break the rocks. And yet there was no voice of God in that wind. An earthquake shook the mountain and rattled the rocks. And yet God wasn't in the earthquake. Fire came by, but the Lord wasn't in the fire. Three mighty and marvelous demonstrations, and yet there was no voice of God in either of those three. And then there was a still, small voice. Very calm, very quiet, asked the same question. Elijah, what are you doing here? And Elijah tells him the same story. Elijah didn't catch on. I'm here, I'm the only one. Elijah didn't catch on that God was the one who had the power of the wind, the force of the earthquake, and the cleansing power of the fire. Elijah was focused on himself. And when God spoke to him, God said, Elijah, go. And while you go back a different way than the way that you came. And you go, and I've got three jobs for you. And we'll talk about those jobs more so tonight. But I want you to notice that God said, and while you're at it, you remember this. I have reserved unto myself. Oh, you who said, I'm the only one. I have reserved unto myself 7,000 men. And those 7,000 men have not bowed a knee or shown devotion to the idol of Baal. By the way, Elijah, you were not alone. Now go do what I told you to do. Folks, I want you to notice four thoughts with me today in line of this. God, first of all, God prepared Elijah for a journey. God provided for him that which was necessary for him to make the completion of the journey. He didn't get him out in the middle of the wilderness. He didn't get him out in the middle of the desert and leave him high and dry. He carried him all the way to the Mount of God. He provided for him the sufficiency of bread and water that were enough for him to make the journey. Have you ever thought about the sufficiency of God for the journey of your life? First of all, that journey was one that God already had laid out for Elijah. He knew where he was taking Elijah before Elijah ever started. Known unto him are all his works from the beginning. Folks, he knows where he's taken our life. And his grace is sufficient. If you go with me back over into 2 Corinthians chapter 12, the Apostle Paul was praying and he was concerned. And there was a messenger of Satan that was beating him about. We don't know exactly what that was, but it wasn't fun. Otherwise, why would Paul pray for three times to take this thing away from me? And God's only answer was, my grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness. You see, folks, as the bread and water were sufficient for Elijah, God's grace is sufficient for the task that He has placed within our life, the path that He's put in our life. Paul said, "I will rather therefore glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me." You see, Elijah in his journey was so full of his own self that he missed the whole point of God's preparation. His mindset is demonstrated for us in the second point. God prepares our path. God prepares our journey. Sometimes our journey is a little more comfortable than other times. But the fact of the matter is, God's grace is sufficient for every step we have to make to move from this place to that place. I'm going to tell you, it wasn't an accident that Elijah just happened to stumble upon that cave. Elijah didn't walk down there to that mountain and say, "Now, where am I going to sleep tonight? How am I going to do this? I'm out here in this mountain and I don't have a sleeping bag and I don't have a cook stove and I don't have this, I don't have that." God led him to that cave. Folks, there's a lot of times when we look about and see what we think we don't have. God is sufficient for our journey. Second thing, how many times are we like Elijah, full of our story that we think we have to tell God over and over? "What are you doing here, Elijah? Why are you here? Why did you come out in the wilderness? Why are you down here? Oh, I've tried to be faithful. I've tried to do this. I stood up before them, those prophets of Baal over there, and all of Israel, they tore down your altars and they killed the prophets, and now they're trying to kill me. I'm all alone." In other words, he's saying, "God, why'd you forsake me? Why'd you leave me in this boat?" You see, folks, there's a lot of times we're like Elijah. It's real easy for us to get a mindset that looks at the condition around us rather than the God above us. That looks at the "they." They tore down your altars. They killed your prophets. They broke your covenant. They did this. I'm going to tell you, we live in a world today where it's real easy for us to look around us and point our fingers at things that are going on in the world that aren't right. And it's easy for us to become disturbed like we're all alone and they are the problem. They're disobedient. God never excused what Israel had done. They had tore down His altars. They had worshipped idols. They had done all the things that Elijah said that they had done. But what God also did not do, He also did not pat Elijah on the back and say, "Poor, poor you. I'm all by myself." Elijah was kind of like a character in an old cartoon that I remember from years ago. There was a little baby ostrich. That baby ostrich looked around and all of a sudden the other animals that had been there were gone. And "I'm all alone." And he stuck his head in the sand. Folks, we live in a world where it's easy for us to stick our head in the sand. God says, "Elijah, go stand out in front of this cave. You go stand out on the mountain." Three things occurred: the wind, the earthquake, and the fire. And yet the Lord was not in any of them. He witnessed the power of the Creator. He witnessed the strength of all that God had created. He witnessed the wind that blew. And by the way, I would say to you folks, don't lose sight of the fact that on the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit moved, what does the Bible tell us it was like? It was like a rushing, mighty wind. You see, the Spirit of God moves in great power. God sent an earthquake.
God has a way of shaking things up, doesn't He? God sent the fire. That fire had to remind Elijah of what he had watched back on Mount Carmel fall from the sky and consume the very rocks that the altar was made out of. The power. You see, folks, the power of our Creator is in control of all things. God sent the wind. God sent the earthquake. God sent the fire. It didn't happen without His power.
I'm all alone. Don't you ever lose sight, folks, that the God before whom we stand on the mountain, the God before whom we stand when we think we stand all alone, when we're decrying what they have done, don't lose sight of what He has done.
And yet, Elijah's comfort was not just in the power that God demonstrated.
What was Elijah's comfort really in? It was in the voice of God. Three different times in this particular episode of Elijah's life, three different times, we find it said, "And the voice of the Lord and the word of God came to Elijah." Folks, I would say to you today that the assurance that we have is in the certainty of God's grace and the message of His word.
I'm all alone.
No, you're not.
Paul kind of felt that way. If we go over into the book of Acts, in Acts chapter 18, Paul was preaching in the city of Corinth. And there were those that were opposed to him. There were those who spoke against him. There were those who fought against the followers with Paul. And yet in the night, in verses 9 and 10, Acts 18 verses 9 and 10, the Bible says that the Lord came, the word of the Lord, the voice of the Lord came to Paul. And He said, "Be not afraid, but speak. Hold not thy peace." Why? "For I am with thee, and no man shall set on thee to hurt thee, for I have much people in this city." He didn't say, "You're going to get me much people. I'm going to use you to make me much people." What did He say? "I have much people." The ones that responded to Paul's preaching were the ones that Jesus said, "I have." Why? Because God has a people chosen from the foundation of the world in every nation, every kindred, every tongue, and every tribe. Everybody is not that way. There are those who fight against God today still. We decry sometimes what we see as a weakness. Oh, the church is not what it once was. Oh, we can't talk like we used to could. We can't do this. The world's this way. The world's this way. Let me tell you something, folks. The people of God are still there for our ministry to reach and to touch. God sent Elijah. I got a job for you to do. Go back. And while you're going, you do this and you do this and you do this. Oh, by the way, you're not alone. I've got 7,000 men that stand for the same thing you do. Dear friends, I want to tell you today, the strength of the purpose of the Church of Jesus Christ in the earth is to carry the message that God gives the church. You go tell Hazael that he's supposed to do this. You go tell Jehu, he's supposed to do this. You go tell Elijah, he's supposed to do this. They carried God's message. And folks, I'm going to tell you, we stand today in the midst of a world that's just as ungodly as were the people before whom Elijah had stood. What we're facing today is not new. What we're facing today is not suddenly brought before us and never heard of before. It's the ungodliness of sin that Satan works in this world, and we still face it. You know what the encouragement of the church is? You're not alone. God still has a people. And what was the message that brought him comfort? What was the source that brought him encouragement? The fourth thing is, the voice of the Lord came to Elijah in a still, small voice. He didn't have to scream and holler. I couldn't help but think of the voice of God that spoke from that same mountain when Moses and all of Israel was encamped around it, and God gave the Ten Commandments. And the people of Israel that day, when they heard the voice of God speak, they ran to Moses and said, "You go talk to him. If we hear his voice again, we will die." You think about the awesomeness of the voice of God. As he gave his law, on that same mountain, God came to a man who was vulnerable, who was frightened, who was depressed. And what did God come as? He came as a still, small voice. Well, God knows exactly what we need. And he sends his word. Folks, the thing that you and I need in this world today, we need to know that he is a God of the power of the wind and of the earthquake and of the fire. But the thing that brings the assurance and the instruction to our life is not the dynamic of the wind or the dynamic of the earthquake or the dynamic of the fire that falls from heaven. It's the Word of God. His Word. "Heaven and earth," he said, "shall pass away, but my Word shall never pass away." Why do we do what we do? Because God says to. He comes in a still, small voice and he says, "Go do this, go do this, go do this." How does he come to us? Right here. Still, small voice. Plain, clear, unchanging. He speaks to us through his word. That's what directs our service. It's also what calls our attention to Jesus Christ. Jesus is the voice that has spoken to us. He's the voice of God. Hebrews chapter 1, first few verses. "God, who at sundry times and divers manners spoke to our fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken to us by his Son, who is the express image of the person, the brightness of his glory." God come in the flesh. God spoke to us through Jesus Christ. "Well, I didn't see him. I wasn't there." No, but you still have the thing that we're given. Jesus said in John chapter 5, verse 39, he said, "Search the Scripture. For in them you think you have eternal life. And these are they." What? "The Scriptures are the things that testify of me." You see, folks, our encouragement in this world is that Jesus Christ has done all that is necessary for our faith. He has given us the bread and the water of life, and he's provided us all that we need for our journey, just like Elijah, for us to go and to do what? To come back to the mount of the Lord. God leads us on a journey that takes us from our origin at Carmel to his presence on Mount Horeb. God's whole purpose in drawing our life, his whole purpose in sending us in his work, his whole purpose in the testimony that he gives us is to bring us closer to him. He doesn't just send us out in the desert. He took him all the way across the desert and he brought him to the place where God said, "You'll worship me in this mountain."
Folks, you understand today that sometimes we get so caught on the view that Elijah got caught in. Oh, they've done this. Oh, the world's this. Oh, the things are so bad. God hadn't lost His power. And yet His direction to us is not wait till I do some marvelous thing. Go. Don't run away. Go. You're not going back the same way you went. You came down here. You go back through Damascus. You're going to make a circular trip. You're going to go a different way. But go. Folks, in the testimony of the Word of God in Jesus Christ, what was it that He said to His disciples? Go ye into every nation. Go ye into all the world. Teaching. Baptizing. Calling upon them in the name of Jesus Christ. You see, folks, we can run away. We can look around at our own weakness. That's not the journey that God's prepared us for. We take that detour sometimes. But He says to us, go. His power is still there. His Word's still there. His message of Jesus Christ is still there. We're the Elijah today. Oh, I'm not a prophet like Elijah. No, but I'm called to go with His message. To go in the authority of His Word. To go in the certainty of His purpose. And to go in the provision of His grace. That's the way Elijah went, wasn't it? That's the way we're called to go. Go. Why? Because you're not alone. God's got much people. Go. Why? Because God said to. May we go in the journey that God prepares for. May we go in the strength of His provision. May we go in the certainty of His power. May we go because the Word of the Lord's come to us just like it came to Elijah. Maybe that Word is saying to you today, take your cross and follow Me. Maybe the Word has testified to you today of the identity of Jesus Christ who has spoken to your heart and says, take up your cross and follow Me. Repent and be baptized. Maybe you're here today and know that as you're on your journey, that God has a work for you to do as part of this body. We stand and sing a final hymn. And as we stand and sing the hymn, the doors of the church are open. If you know that God's spoken to you through your strength and through your, in His care and purpose, you come, you go in the job and the purpose He's called you to do.